That's the only reason. It's because people are gone on vacation right now. That's the reason, okay? Amen. Happy Father's Day. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad that you came to spend this Sunday with us. This is going to be fun. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Let all your things be done with charity. You can be seated. If you're a man, stand up. I was waiting on this to happen. This is good. This church is kind of out of sorts a little bit with the way most churches go. There's usually not this many men in a church. And I thank God for that. I do. I thank God for that. All right. Thank you, men. You can be seated. I'm so glad this argument took place up front. This is really going to help me. When does a boy become a man? Throughout history and a lot of societies, there is a rite of passage when a boy becomes a man. As we know, the Spartans would send them out into the wilderness with a spear, and if they survived a certain amount of time, when they made it back, they were classified as a man. It was the rite of passage. Doug, we live in a society that doesn't have a rite of passage for a boy to become a man. As a matter of fact, our society's so messed up that we, and it's to the point, and that's not to beat anybody up, that's just to let us know where we are. So what does that mean? That means the church needs men to be men now more than ever before. Why is that, preacher? Because we need a revival where the Spirit of God begins in our churches and goes out of the door and changes some people's lives, because the devil has blinded and confused so many people that I have sat and seen Supreme Court justices and politicians try to argue how to define male and female. Well, I want to let you know, I got enough common sense to look in my Bible and see that God created male and female. Listen, I don't want to get political right now, but that's a whole nother level of stupidity. When we're arguing whether men can have babies or not, we have become so idle and so full of bread, we got too much time on our hands. But there's an underlying problem. And why do I need to clarify that? I want to tell you why I need to clarify that. Because I want some kid, when they're sitting in a classroom, and some liberal teacher tells us, that's not what my preacher says. But if the preacher ain't saying it, then where are they going to hear it from? There's a God that made a creation, and he created it just the way he wanted it. And he, being the creator, created Adam. And when he made Adam, he seen that it wasn't good for man to be alone. And he took a rib and he created woman. There's your story. That's it. That's all. But when I ask you if you're a man, biologically is different than the way God defines a man. Just because you have XY chromosome doesn't make you a man in the eyes of God. Because God defines man scripturally a different way. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. All you guys say dominion. Deeper. dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man. Let us make man in our image and give them dominion. So we have been created in the image of God. And being created in the image of God, we are image bearers. Now, sin entered in and has marred that image. Can you say amen? Because that image has been marred, Jesus came to redeem that image. Let me be clear. Any revelation that you have of God outside of Jesus Christ, get rid of it. Any revelation that you have of God outside of Jesus, get rid of it. Why? Because Jesus was the perfect image of the Father. He was the perfect image, not partially revealed, not just not 50%, not 80%, 100% revelation of who God is. You see that in the face of Jesus Christ. Any revelation you have of God outside of Jesus, get rid of it, because that is Him revealed to mankind perfectly. Amen. I ask you if you was a man to stand up. There's a debate going on right here. Stand up. I don't know. Am I a boy? Am I a man? It's going on. When does a boy become a man? Obamacare says 26. Budweiser says 21. The U.S. Army says 18. Xbox says 17. That's when you can play mature video games. Let me insert this. There is no such thing as mature video games. Yeah. No such thing as mature video games. The airlines say 12, Disney says 10s, and I think at 10, because that's when you pay adult prices, and I think most aspirins say 2. What decides when we move from this place of boyhood to manhood? Now we have this concept, I want to read this to you, called adolescence. No passage, no, you move from boy to manhood. Adolescence is defined as a transitional stage of physical, psychological, and social development that occurs between childhood and adulthood. While often associated with the teenage years, experts and health organizations broadly defined it as a phase stretching roughly between the ages of 10 and 24. If you are in adolescence at 24, something wrong. As the brain and the body contend to mature. 1 Corinthians 4:14. I write not these things to shame you. I thought I'd throw that in there since I'm saying all this. But as my beloved sons, I warn you, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. This is a scary concept. What makes a man a man? I know where we're at. I know where we live. I know our surrounding. I know our culture. How many of you men have a gun? How many of you have more than one? How many of you men have a four-wheel drive? How many of you men have a fishing pole? I classify myself as a man. I got a four-wheel drive, got guns. I got fishing poles. I work in the coal mines. I like baseball, football. I like hard hitting. Classify myself as that. But just because that's me, that don't make me a man. That makes me awesome, but that don't make me a man. And the way God looks at it, it's going to be hard to say, but I put a lot of thought into this. Some skinny jean wearing, soy latte sipping, vegan sitting at a hipster coffee shop right now, God could classify them more of a man than he does me, theoretically. Why? Because when God looks at manhood, he looks at it in a different way. We see this in the life of David. Hey, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I don't know that I would have hung out with David. That's just me. Hey, you want to get together this weekend and play the harp and write poems? No, I don't. I mean, y'all are laughing. Would you? AJ, come over this weekend, man. We'll play the harp and write poems. You in? I don't know that I would hang out, that'd be the guy I hung out with. But David went down to the valley. And when he got down in the valley, he said he's seen something. And he went to talk to Saul. And he said, I want to go fight this giant. And Saul looked at him and said, you are but a youth. He said, you can't do this. He said, you're nothing but a boy. Back up a few chapters, and you'll see that this prophet Samuel, he's seen something, and God began to speak to him. And he looked at Saul, and he said, because you've not kept the commandment, because you've not kept the commandment, God would have established you forever. But he has sought out a man after his own heart. Do you catch that? Saul looked at David and said, you are but a youth. He had a classification. But God had called David a man after his own heart. Because let me tell you what makes the difference between a boy and a man. A boy doesn't have the right relationship with God, and a man is after the things of God. When God classifies a man, he classifies somebody who is after his heart, who knows how to pray, who knows how to read his word, who knows how to seek after him, and who knows that the plan of God is the greatest plan that a man could ever walk in. That's how God classifies a man. So theoretically, there are men out there that aren't as tough as you, but God classifies them more manly than you. Preach it, preacher. Can I get where we live? If you think that because you go to work and you come home and you bring home the bacon, that's all you got to do, that's not how God classifies a man. A guy that comes home and lays on the couch and doesn't do anything ever, that's not the way God classifies a man. A man that's more interested in the things of this world than he is getting his family to the house of God so that they can be protected under the umbrella of God. That's what God is classifying that kind as a man. A man that is willing to come in and walk in protection and walk in truth and understand that there are some things in this life that are more important than the ball game score, more important than the fishing score. There are some things in your life that got to be more important, and that is you getting your children into the presence of God. And a man knows that. Why am I yelling at you? Because it's Father's Day and I can't do this on Mother's Day. God's looking for some men. Can I say it again? God's looking for some men. Some men that are after him. Just because David was a man after God's own heart doesn't mean that he's still not looking for men to be after his heart. Let's back up and listen to this. Watch ye. Watch ye. This is 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. God's looking for men that are watchers. Don't be ignorant. There's a devil. He said, watch ye, oversee, look. Years ago, I read a book called Point Man. If you ever get a chance, read it. In the book, he talks about being in Vietnam. The point man's the man up front. He's looking in the trees. He's looking for tripwires. He's looking for everywhere because he's the point man. He's on point. Entire platoons have been lost or made it through because of the skill and the fervor of the point man. In the heat, in all of that mess, and you're so keen because these men behind you are depending on you and your skill and your fervor to watch. Man, I'm so interested. Then Jason, you know what he does? He says, okay, same jungle, same situation. You're the point man. But you're not leading a platoon. Behind you is your wife carrying your babies. How much more fervent are you going to be looking in the trees and looking on the ground? Here's the truth. We're in a war, and this war has been declared on families. The devil hates families. That's why this whole thing is going on in our society where we're trying to rearrange the way God created it. Let me tell you, it works better the way God created it because he's the creator and he knew how he created it to run. It don't work according to my philosophy or my idea. Go back to the creator. How do I know how he wants it to run? Look in his book and he describes how he wants it to work. If you really knew that right around the corner there was somebody ready to take your child, would you be the first one around the corner? Or would you let him go? It's time for men to be men and step up and do what God ordained you and called you to do. It's time to pray like we've never prayed. It's time to get in to the mind of God because there's a God that wants to do something, but it's going to begin in you. What are you waiting on? Listen, I want you to hear that. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear my heart. If you're a man and if you're a couple sitting in this church and you're in this church because this is where your wife wants to go and you feel like God's leading you somewhere else, I'm giving you permission after this service to leave. Let me tell you why. Now listen, if you're not praying and you don't have no clue and you're not spiritual, you better listen to her because she's praying to God and it's a good place to be. Because you know what I've seen men do? They want to be the man at certain times and certain times they don't. They want to step up and flex up at certain times and other times they don't. I know men that have heard people coming in their house and they made their wife go first. Come here, Tracy. I want to show you how goofy this is going to look. Can you, come on up here. Come on up here. Somebody's downstairs. Can you see me? Go, Tracy. Honey, who is it? Who is it, honey? Who is it? Did you hear it? Watch the difference. I got this, babe. I got this. Plus, I'm going to be scarier coming down the steps. They're going to squeak more. There's going to be all kinds of noises. God ordained this a certain way. Can I get political again? The fact that she would ever have to be in a sport against me blows my mind how our society is working. It's all right. Say amen. Amen. It's a mess. Thank you, baby. Let me help you down. God ordained this thing a certain way. I've told you all this before. I'm going to tell you again. My kids used to lay in the bed, and they were awake. We knew they were awake. Come on, your kids ever act like they're asleep, and you know they're awake? Allison, you remember my megaphone? I had a megaphone. I'd go in the bedroom singing with a megaphone. But we'd be in the living room, and Tracy would say, Allie, nothing. Taylor, nothing. Ian, and then she'd look at me, and she'd say, yell at him. I'd go, Allie, what? And Tracy said, that makes me sick. I'm scarier than you are. Plus, I got a megaphone. Plus, I'll go in there and say, I'll spray him with water. There's no abandon with me. You ever been sprayed with water? Say amen. Psh, 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 get up. That's cruelty to people. No, it's not. It's time to go. God ordained it a different way. Where's Ian at? Where'd he go? Riding his bicycle one time, this kid wiped out hard. He had asphalt embedded into his face. Remember that? Right there in his face. He had pieces of gravel and rock. And Tracy calls me. She goes, it's bad. It's okay, I'll be there in a minute. She's worried. She's concerned. I get there, and I walk in. He's crying. I looked at him, and I went, yeah. I said, that's going to scar. He went. Gave me the thumbs up. Yeah. Yeah. There are certain roles that God has designed us to work in. Can I go a step farther? Can I get real with us? Boys will turn things. How many people in here raised a boy and a girl? Is it a little different? It's a little different. It's a whole lot different. When Ian showed up, I was excited because I was outnumbered 3-1. When he showed up, I was like, well, at least it'll be even the odds a little bit. Boys will turn a box into a truck, make noises with it. You ever seen that? They do all kinds of crazy things. They want to play with guns. And that makes some people really, really nervous. Can I get real with us? What should we do? What should we do? My little, he wants to play with toy guns all the time. Well, one day, he may be somewhere defending our freedom so that we can have a worship service like this. And maybe you ought to understand that God put some things in him for certain reasons. Is this all right? Is this okay? But that still don't make him a man. We can hoorah him, but that don't make him a man. What makes him a man in the eyes of God is he after the heart of God? I wrote down a few things. I want to read these to you. And then I'm going to let you go home. Give my definition. Father. Let me give you this definition. It's Father's Day. Father. When he says there's many instructors, but there's few fathers, the definition that he is using and the word he's using here means teacher. Those to whom pupils trace back the knowledge and training they have received. I want to do a KOZ commercial right here real quick. Because what goes on in that ministry is extremely important. You know why it's extremely important? Because one, it gets these boys outside. But more importantly than getting them outside, they write down prayer requests. They get a lesson every time they have one. It's instilling the word of God in them. I had an experience in my life where somebody needed a tire change one time. They couldn't get the tire changed. And I seen this thing, and it was so cool. It said, if you've got a beard and can't change a tire, shave your beard. You say, oh, man, you're mixed up. I didn't do this. This is just the way God created it. I do not think there's any man in this room that if you break down and have a flat, your wife should be changing the tire while you're sitting inside. Y'all don't know what to say, do you? It's just the way God created things, right? So there are so many things that are against this concept. Our society is religion is turning against this concept. That the Father began it all. That it all came from the Father. The whole creation, he's the creator. He's the one that began everything. In the beginning, God created. And we want to wipe that out, and we can't wipe it out because that's the way it started. As politically correct as we may want to be, so we don't offend anybody, the Bible calls him Father. Teachers, those who, see, there's got to be some kind of mentoring you are doing in your life to somebody. We call this discipleship. We've got to have somebody in our life that we are discipling. Because, Porky, what scares me is in our society right now, there's not many fathers. And so what we have is boys teaching boys. Let me tell you what happens when boys teach boys. It becomes a consuming nightmare. Can I say that again? It's all about consumption. It's all about what you can bring in. There's no fathers to teach that, no, this is respect, and this is yes, and this is no, and this there's integrity and all these things. There's no fathers to teach that. So boys teaching boys, we got a mess going on. And I'm going to tell you right now, being part of the employment force, you can absolutely understand. We live in a generation of males that don't know how to work. So what's this got to do with Christianity? It's got a lot to do with what men need to do right now in our churches. Amen. Amen. True religion. True is about the widows and the fatherless. Because there's some people out there that need somebody to teach them. And I appreciate that ministry so much. So much. Because one day it's going to make a difference in their lives. One more verse, I think I'm done. Come on, Aaron. I think I may be done. Yeah, I'm done. All right, I'll throw this one here just for good measure as they're walking up. Y'all ready? 1 Corinthians 11:3. Y'all read that to yourself. I didn't write it. Some of you are laughing, some of you are smiling, some of you look nervous, some of you are mad. I didn't write it. There is a system. We had this conversation, didn't we? Remember this conversation about this verse? You don't remember? I thought you remembered everything I preached and everything I said every time, all time. Come on, Chrissy, okay, we was out at Jason and Robbins. We was out on. Now you remember? Yeah. We had this conversation. Okay. Oh man, some of y'all guys read this. You was like, you better understand the responsibility of that verse. That's heavy. When you read that, you shouldn't. You should go, oh, Lord, help me. Help me do this right. God, help me. Because if we back up, he said, do it all with, what was that word? Does anybody remember? Charity. He said, do everything you do with charity. If we love well and we lead well, everything around us will flourish. Say that one more time. If we get a group of men on fire for God and they love well and they lead well, everything around us will flourish. Happy Father's Day. Let's stand. Let's stand. If you need prayer today for any reason whatsoever, we want to pray with you. I know there's some people that had a few things. They asked me before church if we could have someone stand in. If you were one of those people, would you do that? Let's do that right now. I know Dawn Smallwood's mother. Oh, yeah, Brother Randy, Brother Randy's dad. How many people believe in the power of prayer? There is hardly ever a service that goes by that we don't do this. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he said, I will confirm my word. And we believe that we're going to give God an opportunity as we pray. Whatever your need is, God is greater than your need. Tell you something about your Father. He loves you. He loves you. Come on, ministry, would you help us?